David Harris and Jeffrey Witt are about to play us a little something.
You know what?
Well, ladies and gents, here it is, the show you've been waiting for, the show you've heard so much about. This is the show that gives you what you want the way you like it, so move right up front for Full Frontal Nudity.
David Harris and Jeffrey Witt are about to play us a little something. Play us a little something? Is this Full Frontal Nudity? Full Frontal Nudity.
It's 7 o'clock in Bakersfield, 8 o'clock in Billings, 9 o'clock in Lincoln.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42.
And by gum, they couldn't throw us off. It's 10 o'clock here on the East Coast, and you're live on Thursday night. Hence the name Thursday Night Podcast, otherwise known as FFN on the air. How are you?
If that beginning didn't say anything, it says that we may be in for a fun time.
Yes. See, I don't know. We look at the studio. It shows it's playing. And we move to the next clip, and then the first clip starts playing. It's going to be a fun hour, I'm sure. Let's introduce ourselves. We are Full Fall Nudity. My name is Jeffrey Witte, your humble host, co-host. And I am joined by my co-host, my bandmate, the hardest working man in show business as far as he knows.
Yep, David Harris, assistant,
whatever
podcaster. Yeah.
Look. When it came out of my mouth, there's two hosts on this show, so it's equal billing. So I had to correct myself. It's all on me.
Zevon.
And Zevon is joining us. We're going to call him our honorary special guest.
He's reminding me that I haven't given him his dinner yet. He's getting ready to get it right now, though, while we do the kickoff.
Yes. So, look, I looked at the numbers. Y'all turned out a little bit last week for our special guest, Woody Lissauer. Thank you. If you're listening right now and you haven't checked it out last week, very interesting. The episode that's up right now is just a little over 2 hours of Woody. You even get to hear a little after show, like yeah. You usually do in the archives, but not our babbling. Just had to get rid of the babbling. Anyway, go check it out, and thank you for tuning in last week, if you tuned in live, and continue to check it out in the archives. So our spiel, while our honorary special guest, Zevon, gets fed.
Oh, he's eating already.
Well, anyway, Zevon would tell you, if his mouth wasn't full, that we have a website, www.fullfrontalnudity.com. Type that out, all as one word, .com. It hasn't changed. The same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Fan bios, YouTube videos, the unfortunate MySpace picture, acoustic songwriting demos, and you can stop by the store and anything that you want, shoot us a line, or you can do it from the website. Shoot us a line. And we'd be glad to hear from you that way. So check it out, www.fullfrontalnudity.com. Everything FFN. There's even a page where you can check out where you can find us around the web. Which is cool. And one to this podcast right here. If you're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com, you're looking at the show page. You can download this episode once it's all recorded. You can listen to us in the archives. You know, check out our other episodes when you're checking out our Woody the Sour episode. Or best decision, the best thing that you can do is subscribe to the show. Hit that little subscribe tab, that little iTunes icon. And every episode will pop right into your iTunes library.
Because we know you just can't get enough of us.
Exactly. So we got that, and if you are a returning listener, we always thank you for supporting us by giving us your time to listen to us just basically play around most Thursdays. But if you're a new listener, we have to welcome you the only way that we know how. So all new listeners, all recurring listeners, welcome.
Welcome to a Nickelback free zone.
And I heard this in passing a couple days ago, and I threw up my Chef Boyardee.
No play for Coldplay.
And then, where are they now?
Everyone knows that Creed blows.
And when will they go away?
We draw the line at Florida Georgia Line.
And you know, David Harris once said to me exactly this.
Bono is a pompous ass.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Because we here at FFN on the air, both of us, and the On Hiatus FFN Rule F, we live by one mantra, and one mantra only. You know it, you love it. Well, we hope you love it.
Chipping away at the foundation of sanity. One podcast at a time.
So that's the usual gibber jabber.
Am I on the show?
Nah, just right here. You might come back later on. I don't know. The chat room is open. If you want to chat with us in the chat room, you can find it at the bottom of the show page. But yet, you know, whether you have class or not.
I'll tell you what then. Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
You can call us at 347-884-9655. And you call in, talk to us. You have something to promote, call us. You have something that's on your mind, call us. That's all we're doing is we're playing music. This is a concept that David discussed with me either last week or maybe the week before. But instead of doing pre-taped stuff this week, we're just going to do it live. Live!
But since we're live, I'd like to give a shout out to Ronnie Youngkins of Kix, who's in rehab again. Want to send out all of our best wishes to him.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully he kicks the habit for good this time. I don't know what it is, but whatever his problem, his ailment be, I hope that he's able to kick it, because I mean, Kix are an institution around here, you know.
Absolutely. We love our Hagerstown boys.
And, you know, if you're on Facebook, Kix actually posted a really nice message earlier. giving you the address of where he's at, and they want the fans to stuff his mailbox full of well wishes and the like. So, if
especially long-legged Rosie from Baltimore.
Yeah. So if you wish to do so, go look that up and do it. I plan on sending him something. I mean, all the joy that Kix's music has given me over all the years, it's the least I can do.
We're going to start the music because there's nothing news-wise. Not that I could find other than what Dave just brought up. So come on, let's get happy. Hanging out with Al Dorigo, the writer and singer of Let It Go that we cover. We spent a lot of time on YouTube, and he looked up how to play the Munsters theme. And it just triggered this song that I had to pull out the CD. I had to put it in today's show just because I want to be happy. And the video for this song really makes me happy. This is Liz Phair with Material Issue from Saturday Morning's Greatest Hit, the cartoon's greatest hit, the Banana Split song, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. La la la,
la 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 song. La 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 la.
From Liz Phair with Material Issue. Very cool song. Very happy song. Now we have a black humor type of song. by someone that we truly are fans of. He's a cool guy.
Yes, and I keep meaning to ask him. It's just the last couple times we've seen him, he's just been too busy to get like more than a hey, how are you doing kind of thing through. Because I just want to ask him if this song is actually based on a true story.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy little tune.
And probably true, because, I mean, that was actually a quite autobiographical album.
We're talking about Salvador
Deli. And
produced by
Andy Bopp, who actually co-wrote the song that we're playing tonight.
Yeah. So Dave has told me that there's like an Andy Bopp thread that's going through tonight's show.
At least for my picks.
Yeah. Well, see, they're staggered. They're staggered. Yeah. So,
they're staggered.
Okay. Once again, from Salvador Deli, Keith Brewer. And you have kids, get ready to give them earmuffs.
Oh, there's only one
I know.
It's always good to get
it's not enough to put a label on this show.
Yes, it's just a word that rhymes with sick. You can.
And this song is definitely sick.
Yeah.
In fact, it's spidered all over the highway. Keith Brewer.
Real.
love that tune. Spread it all over the highway. Keith Brewer.
It's just one of them balls out rockers from that album. There are a few of them, but.
So, all right. So all you kiddie listeners can take the earmuffs off. Oh, you can't hear me? Somebody tell them to take the earmuffs off.
You know,
very disgusting language there.
Yeah. That one just has that dirty, stonesy vibe going on.
Yes. Yes. And that, you know, Keith is good, period. Yeah, when he's rocking out, he's the best. So we move on. Now that the kids are back in the room. Last night, I was watching NBC, and America's Got Talent was doing their 10-year celebration, and they were highlighting some of the more memorable acts that they've had, and there's one in particular that I was very happy to see. And the reason why I was happy is they were on this show.
I was going to say, were they our guests?
They were our guests. One of the banner episodes that we've done. It was really great to have them. Good time. And I heard that because of their appearance on not our show, but the show last night on NBC, their Facebook page got many more hits. Your YouTube page got more hits. And when we talked to them, the Broken Crayons EP was still new. And we played it track by track, and this was the first track. And I'm going to have Tourette's the rest of the night because of it. Here it comes! From the Broken Crayons EP, here's our buddies in Merp doing Old Butternickel.
The relaxing sounds of Murph.
Oh! Oh, Butternickel! And they've just gotten better. They've got a new CD we played a couple tracks off of. So look them up. And then after you look them up, look up the Modern Ruins. Good local band.
Yes, led by Andy Bob. Haven't mentioned that name yet.
Nope. Nope, you haven't.
And this is one of his. They're kind of alt country, but at the same time, they also kind of lean more toward the power pop spectrum of alt country, if that makes any sense, because he started out doing power pop. Now he's got a rockabilly band that I'm trying to think of the name of. I know there's the High and Lonesome, but the Bleecker Street Cowboys. That's also a country-oriented thing. And the song that we're playing tonight is definitely one of the more country-influenced songs.
And that song would be, Dave?
Empty Bottles, which they did at their recent WTMD appearance. And though it was actually just Andy Bopp, he's got a new project where he's playing music from all the bands. His solo stuff, the Miracle Bra, who we'll be hearing later, Modern Ruins, Bleecker Street Cowboys, High and Lonesome. Very, very prolific guy.
Sounds that way. From the Modern Ruins, here comes Empty Bottles.
Well, I'm running like a freight train on a rocket ship of emotion. Try to keep it under control while I'm falling through. Wasted days in empty bottles. Drowned in waves of ocean blues. Well, I took an empty southbound train out headed to nowhere. Wearing out the rugs cause I'm facing here.
Empty Bottles by the Modern Ruins. Yeah.
That can be found on one of their EPs. The name was in my head and it just slipped from my head that quickly. Redeemer.
There you go. All right, we're midway through this show, folks. Just a reminder, you are listening to FFN on the air. We are the Thursday Night Podcast. And we are full frontal nudity. My name is Jeffrey Witte, and I'm joined by my co-host, bandmate, David Harris. And chat room is still open. Chat room is still open. You want to chat with us that way? Or you can come and play with us live.
Come and play with us, Daddy.
And it happens that quick. You can call us at 347-884-9655. It's 347-884-9655. And look, we got a call, Dave.
All right.
That's patched calling through. Hello, listener. How are you? Oh, my goodness. They're back. Not only that, how dedicated are they? They did not call in last week. They wanted us to have a good episode. Thank you, guys. So, you can give us a call. You got a little under a half hour left. We're going to keep on moving. This is another David Harris pick from his buddy, Bertling Noise Laboratories.
Yes, the project that is, it's a one-man band, Bertling Noise Laboratories, is Nick Bertling. And, you know, he recorded, with the exception of the drums, he recorded everything else on this album at his home. And this is, we're going to hear one of the, I guess it's kind of prog influence. At least that's what I get from the keyboard solo. But I mean, the thing is, his influences are all over the map, and they're all over the album. It's like a spot the influence kind of thing. His first album, Matilda and 12 Others, came out a couple years ago. He's getting ready to move to Chicago, but right after he moves, he'll have album number 2 ready, which I'm looking forward to because love the first one. So without saying anything else, except for I'm sorry about the hack job on the end, Nick, but until I get a smooth ending version, this is what I had to do. Here is Bertling Noise Laboratories doing Bits and Pieces.
Walking in and out of doorways, searching for the missing thing, reaching buildings hidden. Nothing else.
Well, that wasn't a bad edit.
But it should run longer. It should be a longer fade. But one of the segues in between the songs starts really quickly. So I just faded it as quickly as I could without, you know.
Okay, well, that's Hurtling Noise.
Hurtling Noise Laboratories. Yeah, I'm going to see what I can do with my reel. He did something interesting for side B when he made me a reel-to-reel of the album. He took the multi and ran the multi through, just making parts appear and disappear at random times.
Mm.
So it's kind of like a behind-the-scenes look into the album. And some of the songs have the cold openings and the cold endings, but in some cases, those endings aren't complete, as in they're missing an important part. So in some cases, I'll be able to easily get a proper beginning and a proper end, but not in the case of every song.
Well, now I got one. Sentence. We did talk about it in the after show last week, but it got cut out. I did go see Blackberry Smoke when they came to town a couple weeks ago now. Great show. If you are one of my Facebook friends, you saw my big review of the shows. I'm not going to it right here. But I did some digging, and I found a very cool Aerosmith cover that they've done. They did it at the Boston House of Blues earlier this year. And it's one that, you know, you don't hear too often. I think it's pretty cool. I believe this is from the Get Your Wings album by Aerosmith. Yeah, take that with a grain of salt. I think that's where it comes from.
It may be from Get Your Wings.
It might be.
No guarantees.
But what I can guarantee is this version kicks ass. So here's some live Blackberry Smoke for you. Chip away the stone when they were in Boston.
Thank God in heaven for Aerosmith. Thank you.
That's some good stuff right there. Some live blackberry smoke covering Aerosmith's Chip Away the Stone.
No.
If that was too rocking for you, we're going to tone it down a little bit. We're getting acoustic on you. A band that Dave alluded to earlier.
Yes. Another Andy Bopp project. This one is Miracle Brian. Lately, it seems Andy's been doing this one very much in the style of this acoustic version, just solo with him and his guitar.
Very minimal. Very minimal.
Mary, which he told, when we saw him, he told a great story about the inspiration for the song, which I believe is in the video I have of the WTND performance on, up on YouTube. So if you're interested enough, you can go seek it out.
If not, you just got to listen to the song. Some acoustic Miracle Bra. The minimum, Mary.
The color's all right for Mary. She'll bring you up with a holiday song. I know what she's been doing. I know what she's been doing. Ooh. Make me feel all right, love. Make me feel all right, love. Everyone smiles and merry. Don't you agree? She's yours if you want. You can.
Well, that's a nice tune.
And it makes me feel all right now.
Yes. That was Miracle Bra doing an acoustic style. Then I'm a Mary.
And that can be found on their Bleeder album, which was out of print for some time, but now it can be found where you can download legally all your good music, you know, iTunes, Amazon, all that kind of stuff.
Very cool. And the last song that we got is on a CD that will never be in print.
It will never be what?
It will never be in print.
well,
the Minimum Marriage story can't be told, or it's in the video. You just we can't tell it on the program. I will tell the story behind this song. Not my song, Dave. Not my song. Once upon a time, there was this band called Dead of Winter who gathered together to record a song for a film that was supposed to go to Cinemax. It was a movie called Elgin's Exotic Misadventures.
And that was a film that you starred in.
That I starred in. It was one of those movies made by two lawyers, which, in a previous incarnation, we mentioned them by name in a song called You Suck. And this is one of the reasons why they suck. Because this was basically a sell it straight to Cinemax type of film. You've seen them late at night. A pure Skinamax movie. But one of the lawyers liked to drink, and he screwed up the film. And he physically screwed it up. So unless they decide to throw money at it themselves, that'll never see the light of day. The only good thing that came from it is this song by Dead of Winter. A song that Al has been singing every day that I talk to him. That's why, again, I had to play it, and it's also probably the cleanest sounding song on the CD. The rest is all muffled. So now that that's out of the way, from the self-titled CD, Dead of Winter, a song from a movie you'll never see, and a CD you can never buy. It's Dead of Winter, Long Road to Nowhere.
Thank you.
Long Road to Nowhere by Dead of Winter.
Hey, that
again, actually, go ahead.
I was going to say, did that version actually have a clean fade?
Yeah, that's how it is on the CD.
Because the version I have from way back in the day, it just stops like mid-fade. Like, it should finish fading, but it just stops. I had to create my own fade for it.
A song written by Al Dorigo and Doug Ulrich. And, you read the lyrics, it pretty much tells you what the movie is about. So if you go back and listen to it, you know what Jin's Exotic Misadventures was all about.
Or you can just turn on Skinamax one night at 11 o'clock and you'll get the idea.
Maybe, but I mean, it was... I've seen those movies, and I haven't seen one like this. Anyway, like, if you do go on YouTube, I did find this out. The boys have their first movie up on YouTube. If you look up Scary Tales, you'll be able to find the first full-length effort that they put out.
Before you got involved with them.
Before I got involved with them. And then, like, the quality pretty much went up from there.
Yeah, because you got involved, right?
That's right. It's all me. Just me.
Is it the original cut of the
Scary Tales?
Yes, it
is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I didn't know if it was the George Lucas cut or the original.
No. We're going to have like a mini after show unless we get on a roll. And I'll go into the Scary Tales stuff and how I found out it was on YouTube. But that's all the music. That's all the time that you had to call us or go in the chat room. So, really?
What?
because you all didn't hear what we heard. That
did the British lady just turn into like an evil robot or something?
I think she did. She sound as get off. If you tuned in live, thank you for tuning in live. I hope we played something that you, after listening to it, there you go. Now that sounds better.
Yeah, that
British lady sounds like the British lady now.
And I, real quickly, since I forgot to mention it, you can find the Bertling Noise Laboratories album on his Bandcamp page, and it's a name your price kind of album, so you can buy it and name your price. Just shoot him a couple bucks, you know?
Well, hey, there you go.
Or you can buy a physical CD from him. I don't know how, but you can contact. There's a Bertling Noise Laboratories Facebook page. But then again, I'm such a fan of the album. I have one of the limited edition of five vinyl copies. I have the limited edition of one reel-to-reel tape. And the CD as well. So, self-professed fan, but thanks everyone for listening.
And tune in next week.
Is the show over?
Now it is.
So say good night to the bad guy.
FFN, on the air, off the air.
I was going to sing along with it, and it wasn't happening.
It's that Block Talk Radio, baby.
Block Talk Radio.
So, this is the after show, and we'll see how long it is.
This is the after show. It's the show after the show.
Yes. Anywho, about Scary Tales. Doug sent me some of the reviews from like online sources for this first film that they did, the Scary Tales. And just a lot of fair reviews. I mean, they didn't trash it. Like, they had one infamous review, as you say, back in the day, from a magazine. Yeah, it was very cruel to the guys. I think it was unwarranted. I mean, the running time that they put on there in the review was, and I quote, like an eternity. And, you know, that's uncalled for.
I agree.
But the reviews that Doug sent me, of the online reviews, a lot of people, like I said, were fair. Some really, really dug it. Others dug certain parts. And some just short of really downing the effort. In one of the reviews that I pulled up, it had a link. It had a YouTube link. And I said, well, this must be the trailer or something like that. And I clicked on it, and it's the whole film. The original, you go to your video store, when they had it in the video store, it's that whole film. Not the one that they've dumbed down, doctored up to make it more PG-13. This has every line that I want to hear in that movie. It's decent condition too, and just in talking to Doug, it was somebody must have got a hold of a copy from the distributor. Because he's given like distribution rights. I forget the name of the company. The person that posted it on YouTube must have got a copy like that, whether it was legal or illegal, and put it up on his YouTube site. It was just awesome. Because I kept playing the game. Did they keep this? And they, everything that you remember,
you were hoping for.
Yeah, everything that I was hoping for, and the cult fans of the film want to see is in there. That's cool.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, the films were made in different times. You know, it's like, you know, I have to give Spielberg a lot of respect. He, after altering E.T. and getting all the flack, he then vowed never to mess with one of his films again.
Yeah, I mean, you get like a certain attachment to the films. And when they change them up, especially way too much, it's like, why'd you do that? Other than the Ricky Witte excuse, because I own it, it's mine.
Well, here's how I feel. It's fine to make an alternate version, as long as you don't pretend that the original version existed, which is what George Lucas does.
Yeah. Well.
You know, I'm all for, like, with Blade Runner. Even though the theatrical version is not exactly what Ridley Scott wanted, and that's why he eventually did the final cut. The fact of the matter is, put out a 3-disc Blu-ray set with every cut. The original theatrical cut, the international cut, which is the same as the original U.S. cut, but with a little more violence. Then there's the what was released as the director's cut, though it wasn't really a true director's cut. And then finally they did release the true director's cut. So, you know, you can get a nice multiple disc set that has every version of the film.
Yeah.
So if there's one version that you remember best, it's there. And honestly, that's what I think they should do with Star Wars.
Yep. And I hope that the folks are listening to this after show to hear you say that.
Well, here's the thing. the first Star Wars film is still owned by Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox has the rights. But Empire and Jedi are now in Disney's hands. It's really a complicated situation, if you ask me, because only one film is owned by a different studio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I'm going to guess in order to keep a box set of all of them, Disney are going to have to pay Fox the money to license the first film. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you're not going to want to go get a box set of Star Wars movies without the first film. I mean, it's bad enough you're going to have to deal with the film with Jar Jar Binks. He's a stupid character. I mean, that was just really probably the worst idea that George Lucas ever had, let's be honest.
Oh. He's George Lucas. You can argue with him, but you won't win.
Yeah. Because he's going to keep... The thing is, with Disney having things, I don't think we're going to see much more tampering with the films, thankfully. You know?
Right.
Though, the funny thing is, you know, he tampered with them between the DVD and the Blu-ray release.
Hmm.
So, just proof that he could not leave well enough alone.
He just had to do it, didn't you, George?
There were only so many... Only so many years within the DVD and Blu-ray release. But George Lucas was like, okay, I need to change this again. I mean, I believe that you know, once a film is made, a film was finished, that is the film. If you're not happy with it, do a special edition, do a director's cut, but just don't let the other one disappear. It's not a situation like
you'll think of it.
Yeah, it's the like the Coen brothers' first film.
Mm-hmm.
The original home video cut, they had to remove songs for rights issues for Blood Simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but they did do a minor cut on it. But with that one, it's so minor. It's not like they went and did something here and be like, oh no, what did they do? As a matter of fact, I believe they didn't add anything to it. They trimmed it a little, just to make it a little tighter.
Right.
I mean, plus, the fact of the matter is, you can get the original cut with the different music intact on VHS. It's still out there. I mean, you can still get the Star Wars, too, but the fact is, it should be readily available, and I don't even think Blood Simple's been released on Blu-ray yet. If it has, I don't know of it being on Blu-ray. But yet, Crime Wave's available. Go figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I still need to get, because I want to hear the commentary track with Bruce Campbell bashing the film. Neither the Coens nor Sam Raimi and his production company were very happy with that film. And from what I hear, Bruce Campbell lets everyone know just how unhappy they were on the commentary trail.
That makes it worth the buying and watching right there.
Yeah. Though I did finally pick up the Criterion Blu-ray of The Fisher King.
Okay.
I'm glad to have the film back in the Criterion collection, because it hasn't been in the collection since Laserdisc days.
Mm-hmm. What was that? What's a Laserdisc?
Yeah. It's that format that me and like 10 other people had bought because we had to have our movies widescreen. And I picked up the new James Taylor album.
Yes.
Did you get it yet?
Not yet.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I kind of figured that.
Nice, mellow kick. It's the kind of thing you can just pop it on and kick back and do whatever you have to do. But at the same time, if you want to focus on it, you can focus on it too. But at the same time, it also makes nice background listening because there's nothing unpleasant. It's not like you could put MERP on, and this is no disrespect to MERP, but MERP is music you have to pay attention to.
It demands your attention.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Demands.
Ellen
demands that you listen to her. So she
James Taylor, you can just put it on in the background and every now and then catch a lyric to make you go, did James Taylor just sing that?
Yes.
Chicago's got the finest high test first class poontang anywhere?
Yes, he did.
But
what would be interesting, check it out, highest concept, MERP featuring James Taylor.
I don't think that could work.
Sweet potato pie. Never see a smiling face. Had to smile myself because I love you. Oh, we've got an album idea. If only to sell one copy to me, it would be fun.
Jeff is demanding it, so make it happen.
There you go. Because over the weekend, Al and I went to see a band that his brother sometimes plays music with. So in the after show, I give a shout out to Mike Dorigo, Al's brother, one of the good guys, one of the cool guys on the planet. Sings real well too. Al has told me that he heard Mike sing Share the Land by the Guess Who at one point and Kill It on the Burton Cummings Scream.
Have Al lip it. Have his brother sing it. And then it'll seem like the real thing's going on.
But the thing was, the way that this was sold to us was that this band did like 80% Beatles. 80% Beatles. And when we got there, from the time we got there to the time that everybody was clearing out, you know how many Beatles songs they did in, what, 3 or 4 hours?
Zero.
Now, it's about maybe 3 or 4. They did a couple Monkees tunes, so I guess that kind of counts towards it.
Not really.
But, I mean, just think of, like, Beach Bum, Jimmy Buffett, versions of your favorite tunes.
Oh, right. That's
what this band was. They're a really cool sax player, though. I'll give him that. It's just a really nice sounding sax solo. But they did a decent job. They even did a Billy Joel song, You May Be Right.
You made the rice.
I made the gravy. Because Billy Joel was in town too. And everything that I've heard was a positive.
Yes. But I've seen Billy Joel twice, so I can be satisfied with
that. One of those times, I was with you.
Yep.
And in my drawer, I still have the shirt that was bought that night.
I do not. I got rid of it when I got rid of stuff that didn't fit me any longer.
Well, that's understandable. I don't think it fits me. I would look more Winnie the Pooh than ever if I put that shirt on. I would truly live up to Chris Farley and Tommy Boy.
It's just, you know, I have so many shirts. There came a time where I had to be like, okay, it's time to just get rid of some of this shizzle. And that's what I did. I decided I'll get rid of some of the shizzle. And
well, I did that to a certain extent too, but then I just added more shizzle.
Yes, yeah, same here.
So it's kind of like negates it, you know. I've actually got rid of some of that stuff. Well, I did, and then I replaced it piece by piece.
I got larger shirt.
That's it. Because that's how we roll. You got to get a T-shirt or a hat or something from the band that you're seeing. What else? Windows 10 is out.
Yeah, I didn't. I forgot to. What's it called? They were giving away the free copies if you signed up. I kept ignoring it every time.
Yeah. Well, it's still on the screen there. I checked it today, and they didn't send me anything else. They didn't send me the upgrade.
Yeah, mine currently does not say it. Let me see what this is here. Oh, wait, there it is. Get Windows 10. I just kind of didn't see it there. There it is, though.
Yeah, there's a little symbol on the bottom, and I click on it. It says, please wait. This could be earth-shattering news right now. Thank you for reserving your free upgrade.
And then you waited and waited and waited.
My hair grew longer as I waited and waited and waited. The only thing that's going on is like very political type of stuff and Cecil the Lion.
Yes. I almost had you play I was almost timely about that. I was going to have you play a Guess Who tune.
Oh. See, nothing is coming to mind.
There's only one anti-hunting song in the whole Guess Who catalog.
Oh.
Guns, guns, guns.
Okay, gotcha.
Godspeed, Mother Nature. You follow Burton on Facebook?
Yes, I do.
He has some interesting posts every now and then.
Yes, he does. So does our friend Jeff Walensky. Because he posted the Adrian Blue song.
Yes. He's a big Adrian Blue fan. Of course, that's the album that actually did get him a little MTV play. Because it had the sort of hit single, Oh Daddy, on it.
Yep, I remember that video well. And yes, that's another thing that Al and I did a couple days ago. We did like a battle of the videos. Who could come up with like the worst 80s video? So we've kind of narrowed it down. We found our MTV Friday Night Fights setup. He had Journey's Separate Ways.
That is a bad video.
That is a bad video. But then as soon as he put that on, I counterattacked with Billy Squier's Rock Me Tonight.
Yes, the video that killed a career.
And that's how I told him. So it's a video that killed the career. Even though Billy Squier doesn't believe that wholeheartedly. Because he just defends it as
a product
listeners' taste listeners' tastes were changing, and they moved on to something else. But that was a bad video. Watching Billy Squire dance around like that was just bad.
It's not all right.
So, you know, if you listen to the after show and you want to chime in at some point about which video was the worst of those two, go right ahead.
You walk right and you talk right and your hair is wild.
Just nutty.
Take me in your arms. Roll me tonight. Da, 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 da. Rock me tonight.
Where he's doing like the dinosaur arm thing. I'm trying to think of like, I pulled up Far From Over, Frank Stallone. And that had us cracking up. But then I had like a thought. I said, there's only one thing cheesier than Frank Stallone's Far From Over video. I checked YouTube and they had it. It was Frank Stallone's Far From Over on Solid Gold, complete with Marilyn McCoo.
All right.
I said, I topped it. I topped it.
Just when you thought you couldn't top it.
Marilyn McCoo. The Kid's American, Matthew Walter. Pulled that out of my hat. He came up with some decent ones. It's just the creamy middle of the YouTube Oreo cookie. We were just playing like the Hooters and Cyndi Lauper and Tommy Conwell.
And you know, it's funny that you're talking two Philly bands there.
Yeah.
And of course the Hooters can fit with Cyndi Lauper because they were the backing band on She's So Unusual.
Exactly. So they're just having a good time. We play like three boot camp videos in a row.
There's fire in the hole.
Yeah, that was the second one that we played. You know, Hold On to the Night. And we played Fire in the Hole. And then I'm a Victim. Come on, boys. Reunite. Slim in. Take a break from the smooth jazz.
You know, the thing is, you know, three out of four band boot camp members were at a Slim Man gig and they started playing around. Well, the other members started playing around with a boot camp song and Tim just wouldn't go for it. So he's it's very obvious he's the one that doesn't want to do it.
Oh well.
The other guys are all for it.
Do like everybody else does. Find somebody to sing lead and play bass. Then go on the road and call yourself boot camp. Because I read a headline just trying to find any news to bring up on the podcast. And it says that Yes will continue on without Chris Squire.
Yeah, I saw it. And I'm like, bullshit.
Right. That's we've talked about that. I think we talked about that when Chris Squire passed away.
Yep.
You know, it's okay. Keep on touring. Just don't call it Yes.
Call it No.
Call it No. So, did we talk about the Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute concert?
I believe you did in the after show last week, where you.
Okay. We'll do it now. We'll just recap real quick. You know, I probably said it last week. When you have like one original member, and you only know maybe one or two of the other members by name, don't call it Leonard Skinner. Call it something else. Don't subject yourself to carrying that on. That's the big thing. If it's out on a CD and DVD right now, and if you don't catch it on Access TV, it's worth picking up. There's enough performances there that I thought were really cool.
And just favored by Of a Revolution, Maryland's own Of a Revolution.
The OAR?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, it wasn't horrible.
I know.
If I gave that impression to you when I made the comment the evening that they showed it on Access TV, I didn't mean it like that. I had written, like, they ruffled my feathers. That's all. It's okay. I'm over it now. And yeah, it's a decent show. You see it on Access TV. Check it out. Anything else? Anything that we haven't mentioned?
I have nothing.
Okay. So, folks, that's it. Time to go make your sandwiches.
That's the end.
That's the end. We're done. Till next week.
We've gone to the end of the line. And it's all right.
Want my wife in afro, it's alright. You had the last word, Dave.
Last word.